listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I've been moving, Connor, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull out at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that are outlive me. They gonna tell the story shit was different with me. God's plan. God's plan. I hold back sometimes I won't. Yep. I feel good sometimes I don't. Hey, don't. I finesse a Western Road. Hey, next. Might go down with GLD. Yeah, wait. I go hard on Southside G. Yeah, wait. I make sure that no side eat. And still, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Wednesday.
Yes, end of the week for us.
Yeah, Walking Dead Wednesday, even. So yeah, we're gonna talk about Walking Dead. It'll be fun. But first of all, you're listening to the Black Guy Who Tips. We are on iTunes, Stitcher. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Make them nice. We'll read them on the air. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
Taser.
And the unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And this podcast is sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions, maker of the YouTube comedy web series Book Crushers. This week we went in on Arthur Dean R. Coontz. I don't know how I said Coontz. Stephen King's revival and the novel Die Hard was based on. We're getting more of the Blackout Tips comments, so thanks for that as they are especially useful to the algorithm. I will put the link to this week's episode in the show notes. And you guys do your thing. Click them, like them, share them, leave comments. Like I said, it does help us out. It helps them out and it keeps them sponsoring the show. So thank you so much. I love hearing back from our sponsors that you guys are like taking advantage of these, deals or helping, enjoy this free content.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Walking Dead time. We finally got to the episode. That's the last episode of Rick Grimes.
Apparently.
All right, it's season 9. Episode 5. It's called What Comes After, and it was up a little bit in the ratings, 5.41, which is kind of interesting considering that these type of episodes that are normally like landmark episodes, you expect like an uptick, and they have been kind of pumping that this is his last episode, and I knew a few more people would be watching that haven't watched some of them possibly in seasons. And nope, it was 5.1 before this and it went up to 5.4.
right, because most people they're not coming back, like never ever are coming back,
which is interesting because I think the show did some amazing stuff this week. Karen, what was your overall opinion on What Comes After?
I actually loved this episode. It was really, really enjoyable.
All right. Me personally, I loved it. After last week's episode that I really didn't like that much, felt like filler, felt kind of slow, felt kind of redundant, this week I really love, especially the ending of the episode. I really think they just did something that I think more shows should do. It was very ambitious and it kind of leaves the show in a really good place to launch new stories from.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what they do. Shout out to Angela Kang, the new showrunner. She's only 5 episodes in and she's managed to kind of wipe the slate clean, in my opinion. Sure, it sucks that a lot of people won't get to see it, or maybe they'll binge it later, or you know, it's just they're so far behind, they, you know, they'd have to catch up to even be current, or you know, possibly just the mistakes they made in the past have turned so many people off at this point there ain't no coming back, you mm-hmm. know.
For some people, no.
So, but for me, I really love this episode. It's really one of my favorites. All right, so we have a lot of different stuff that happens, and I feel like Rick gets his own section here.
Yes, he does.
So we'll start with first the junkyard, and then we'll move into Alexandria, and then Rick. Right?
Okay.
So in the junkyard, Anne is has taken her RV from the junkyard to a rendezvous spot where she's supposed to be meeting up with the helicopter. And remember, she told them, I have an A, which she called Gabe an A, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't have him anymore because she let him go. She couldn't bring herself to, whether it was let the zombie eat her or eat him or whatever it was she was going to do. She couldn't bring herself to do it. She let him go free. He woke up and started crying because he really missed his girl. She showed her his boobs.
He might as well say, baby, come back, baby. Come back.
I really miss you. Like,
I think I missed a song up. I did.
What song?
No, it's Baby, I'm Begging, Baby, I'm Begging, Begging. But yes. Yeah, I messed it up the first time. My bad, y'all.
Yeah. So we saw that Gabe was heartbroken and she just drove off. So she's driving off in an SUV. I mean, SUV, an RV. She drove off in an RV, guys.
Ain't that big difference. Don't that look like the RV that old man had in season 2?
Herschel?
Yes.
Wait, not Herschel. Not Herschel. Dale. Yes. Yeah. I mean, maybe because there was so many, like, Easter eggs and stuff in this episode. I'm not even going through all of them. I can't, because I know I didn't pick them all.
But that was definitely one of them.
But this episode was very, like, self-referential for The Walking Dead. It was a lot of, like, remember this shit from episode 1 type moments. Mm-hmm. There were some that were too major to not pick up, and they kind of add to the story. But for the most part, I felt like there was a lot of inconsequential stuff. Like, oh, if you look in the background, this is the same symbol that was on the tree when Rick decided not to kill Negan. It's like,
I'm not gonna remember.
Yeah,
that.
It's like, it's cool, you know what I'm saying? Cool that y'all did that, but also
great trivia question.
Yeah, also not necessarily gonna add anything to the show. So she has an RV that breaks down, and she went alone because she needed to go fast. But I guess she wouldn't think that went through because the RV was moving at a crawl. She gets on a walkie-talkie because a walkie-talkie person asked, like, hey, you there? You still got the A? And where's your location? And she was like, I'm about 2 miles from the rendezvous spot, and I still have my A. And we know she lying. She ain't got a damn thing.
She empty-handed.
Right. She got a gun, a map, and a walkie-talkie.
And a broke-down RV.
And an RV that don't work. So the voice on the walkie-talkie actually reminds her, like, last time we tried to do an exchange, you actually aborted at the last second. That was when she had Negan. And remember she ended up letting the helicopter go. And he's like, so no tricks this time, because if you trick us, there will be consequences. And she assures him, like, nah, it's real. I got it. Okay. Remember that. Hold it in your back pocket. It'll come up later, guys. It'll be on the quiz. Fast forward to Alexandria. So this scene was kind of corny to me. Maggie and I can't remember this lady's name. I never remember this lady's name. Mm-hmm. But she's a kingdom resident that has the bow, tall white woman with blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
She I'm gonna start calling her fake Brienne because I don't know her name.
All right, she just is tall.
She's a tall blonde woman. That's a warrior.
Diane
Brienne, same thing. So Diane and Maggie are galloping back on horses. Trolloping. That sound like an old school term for hoeing. I'm like, oh, y'all just trolloping in the streets. Can't make a trollop a house, witch. So then
trolloping from camp to camp.
Mm-hmm. trollop. So they were heading to Alexandria. They see a walker on like a little bridge or walkway or something, and Maggie's like, no, I got it. She gets off of her horse and she pulls out the crowbar and beats the fuck out of this walker. Like, an excessive amount of beating for just a regular walker. Nothing special about it. I thought they were trying to make this about, like, this is how mad Maggie is and at Negan and how bloodthirsty and ready to kill she is. She's hitting this walker extra times because she's so fucking angry. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, it's a little corny to me. It's a little corny. I was like, we know she's mad.
They got to be corny.
Huh?
So they got to be corny.
They don't have to be corny. I thought the rest of this show had a lot of good poignant moments. This one came off corny. I was like, we know she mad. She left the house to kill a nigga. Her hitting that walker seven extra times, it just made it seem like 30 extra seconds of screen time.
For nothing, right?
And then she turned around to Diane like, now we can go. I was like, you just killed one walker. Y'all kill walkers for breakfast. That was not like a sign.
At all.
Michonne's in the kitchen spending time with Judith. Judith's playing with shells.
Being all cute.
Yeah. Judith was like, animal used to live, a creature used to live in here. And Michonne was like, yes. And this one, and picked up another shell. And Michonne was like, that one too. And so the black dude, that lucky ass nigga that's married to Sonequa Martin Green, whose name I don't know, he comes in and tells Michonne that Maggie is here. And Judah says, Aunt Maggie.
I know.
And I'm like, girl, you have no idea. Aunt Maggie out here for looking for death.
Come on.
The Reaper. And so then, Michonne, runs to Negan's, Negan's like cell area, his holding area. Cause not his cell, mm-hmm. but outside the cell, like the holding room.
Cause she had a feeling this is where she heading.
Oh yeah, she absolutely knew what kind of, soon as she heard Maggie, she knew what this meant. Like, you know.
Yeah, we didn't know ahead of time. Yeah, she just showing up. Come on.
Right, which is so funny, right? Cause they got this plan, this elaborate plan to distract Rick. And then we're gonna get her to Alexandria. We're gonna delay the relay call. They're gonna let Maggie in. And then she's gonna kill Negan. And you think like, that they would like sneak in or something, but nah, she just walked right over there. And of course Michonne showed up and was like, girl, you can't be out here just doing this. What you doing?
I mean, you thought I was really gonna let you walk through the front door and walk our way back here?
Right, like, you know, we holding this dude, it's been a long time now, you still got beef, you can't let shit go, just let's move on, you know. And Maggie was like, nah, full 53%, like, I know this black woman is trying to save me for myself,
I don't care,
but I know what I want, and I want revenge. All summer 16. So then Maggie says, nah, fuck that shit, Negan gotta die. And Michonne's like, this not right. You know, Rick said you can't do this. And Maggie's like, man, fuck a Rick, fuck everybody. I said he gotta die. He killed Glenn, and you were there, and you saw it, and, you know, he deserved to die for this shit. And then Michonne was like, do you think Glenn will want you to do this? Do you think Herschel will want you to do this?
She's like, I don't know, and actually, I'm doing this because I want to do it.
Right. She like, I just know I want to do it, and they dead.
And they ain't got no say-so.
Like, that's kind of the point, you know? They dead. And Michonne was still kind of struggling with it, trying to stop
it. Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous!
Cut the crap!
Yeah, I don't know why that cut off early. And then, it must have been because I switched programs. Now I have to see if I can find another program to play our clips with, because I don't like that cutting off. That's my favorite part.
You know you got to hit in. Cut the crap.
All right, let me choose another app. Sorry, guys, to do this in the middle of the show, but I didn't know I was going
to
do that.
We got to hit a whole clip.
All right, what if we use this app? And close that. All right. Yeah, it was just funny because Michonne tried to stop her, and Maggie was not with the shits at all. She like reverse guilt tripped her and shit, and it was like guilt trip kung fu they was doing, because it was like, what about Rick? And it was like, well, what about Glenn? It's like, well, what about your daddy and Glenn? Oh, well, what about? And then Maggie got Michonne kind of dead to rights, in my opinion, because she basically told Michonne like, if this dude would have killed Rick in front of your face, you really telling me you would have been cool with that? you would just let that shit ride. And Michonne really didn't have a comeback for that.
So she just politely walked to the side.
Because it's kind of like life. What can you really do to a person that has already decided they don't care about the consequences of what they about to do? They going to just do something stupid.
Oh, you got to let them just be stupid.
Yeah, like you really just got to sit there and be like, okay, well, this is fucked up and I'm going to just let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and consequences be damned.
Right, let you sink in.
Yeah, she know, because she said, can you live with this? And Maggie was like,
I want to make my mama proud. You guys are not doing anything with your life. You may not see it, but I'm trying to accomplish something. And you guys are preventing me from that. All y'all haters, like, I'm trying to accomplish my dreams. If you don't like me, just block me. I didn't do anything to you.
Exactly. So Maggie got in inside because Michonne gave her the keys. And at that point, Maggie actually confronted Negan. And I actually think I have the audio/video for this.
Okay.
I don't know. The way my computer's acting janky, I don't know if I should play the video or just play the audio of it.
Whichever one you want to do.
We'll see, guys. Let's
see if it cooperates.
Everybody cross their fingers. I probably should unmute this. That'll work. Ooh, this is long. 5 minutes. I will try to sum up some of this, but I just want y'all to hear the beginning especially. Although Jeffrey Dean Morgan was acting his ass off in this scene.
Yeah, they was in the same, now this scene, they was in the same room. You can tell, like, the acting was so much better. You can tell when they was in the same room.
Yo, it was crazy because, compared to last week with Michonne, it just felt janky.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, it just felt more real. All right, here we go. Oh, also, Negan had a sandwich outside the cell because he ain't been eating.
Mm-mm.
So he had a sandwich just sitting on the floor. I was like, this nigga still ain't eating.
Right.
Like, he tried all that tough shit, but his hunger strike, people do this when they want to die. Mm-hmm. Like, when things are so bad, they'd rather die than eat.
Correct.
All right, let me see if this, damn it, why did the sound turn off?
Oh, she just gave up the keys, huh?
Oh, because he knew she was up there.
She got the blade, but you got the fire.
Now see, this is why I say Negan watching the show.
Duh!
How Negan know Michonne was the one that let Maggie in by giving her the keys? Like, they didn't fight. They didn't.
I guess he didn't hear no rumble upstairs.
Like, right. No, they didn't break in and steal the keys. He just knew. He was like, oh, I was watching before the commercial break. She just gave the keys.
Somebody said they have a window, but I don't know how high up he can see, y'all.
Yeah, look at this window. You can't see shit out of that window. And in the background, when they were talking, you ain't see no window. So I don't know. I think Negan watching the show, y'all. I think he got it on DVR. He was like, oh, this is Rick last episode. I better watch this one live.
Oh, with everybody else.
See what's going on. Find out what's going on with me. So he's doing this tough guy Negan thing.
My money was on you.
So you remember me.
Yes, I do. That's why I thought you were going to win.
Good. Get on your knees.
Yeah. I remember you screaming in that clearing. I remember how much I broke you breaking open your husband's head like I did.
Glenn. His name was Glenn.
So now what? You finally come for revenge?
Justice.
Damn. Thought you'd do this a hell of a lot sooner. It'd take you this long to work up your nerve.
I was always going to settle this. What you did to my husband. Get on your knees.
What I did to him? You mean how I cracked open his skull and popped out his goddamn eyeball? How I bashed his big, beautiful brains into the ground over and over while you and his little friends watched? Is that what you mean? Ah, I used to say that I didn't enjoy killing. That was a lie. Your old man. Christ, I forgot his name again. But he was different. Killing him the way I did, ooh, that was fun.
So she put the keys in the door. He kind of shuts the fuck up. But My thing with this is I love fucking Negan as a bad guy on the show because of this. He psychologically can manipulate people so fucking bad. I mean, he ran a whole ass crew of people that he had believing in that fucking bat shit and out here thinking that they were in the right to be taken from people and we're providing protection and shit, and everyone was calling themselves a Negan. Like, he's just like, he knows how to get to people's brains, not just with a bat, you know. So let me get to a little bit more, because when she puts the keys in the door, he kind of freezes and sits down.
You do it. Have your justice. Kill me. It was worth it.
I want to see you in the light.
So what I like about this as well, up until this point, we've been watching the show and Negan's been shrouded in darkness.
Yes, he has.
And my thinking was, nobody else is there. They probably aren't filming these scenes with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and these people in the same room.
Right.
Maybe they have been the whole time. I don't know. But it didn't feel like it.
It didn't.
And now we find out that this darkness is on purpose. The show's been using it on purpose, hiding him in the dark, making it seem like, you know, he's this big bad boogeyman. And so Maggie leans forward when he tells her to kill him and says step into the light because she wants to see him, and he refuses to. Long story short, she eventually does open up the cell and pulls him into the light, and we finally see that he's actually emaciated. Like, he's so light in the ass, she literally just like threw his ass across the room like you would, I mean, hopefully none of you would, but like you would a child.
Yeah!
I mean, hopefully
don't be throwing nobody's, don't be throwing the keys now.
And he's not fighting anything.
Please. Please kill me.
Why?
You have to. Just do it.
You tell me why. Tell me. Why should I?
So I can be with my wife. So I can be with Lucille. I should be dead. I have to be dead. It is supposed to be you. It has to be you. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. I tried. I can't. I can't be like this. Please, please don't make me stay like this. Just settle it. Settle me. Kill me. Please.
Get back in your cell.
No. No.
So Maggie decides not to kill at this point. Because this nigga apparently is now a whole bitch.
Right, and her thing, his whole thing was to provoke her. Like, I'm gonna provoke you to anger so you can kill me. That's why people talking about him talking shit. That's why he was talking shit, to actually get her angerized. Cause he was like, I know you're gonna open up the door. When you open the door, you're gonna fuck me up. So I'm gonna try to talk my shit back here so that when you open up the door, you can just beat me to death. And her thing was like, A, you're not the same person. And if I'm going to kill you, I need to see the old Negan.
And that's the thing. His fragile masculinity was showing. He should have been eating all them sandwiches. Then he would have been strong enough and had the energy to push Maggie upside the head and run out of the room. But he was out there trying to be on a hunger strike. He was
protesting
too weak.
Protesting the shit.
Mm-hmm. All that protesting, and he couldn't do shit. So yeah, he ended up getting his light ass tossed up. And then Maggie went outside and seen Michonne, and Michonne sees that the crowbar isn't bloody.
And she ain't bloody.
She ain't bloody. And Maggie's face is softened now, and it looks kind of like she kind of realizes, like, okay, I'm not going to kill this nigga. Which is funny because we also saw Anne let Glenn live. Gabe live.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was crying. So look, man, if you listen to the lesson here, you gotta cry. If a woman is gonna do something to you and vengeful, just start crying. Maybe they'll let you go. Maybe they'll leave you alone.
That's a big maybe.
So
you know what you did.
Right. So she doesn't kill him and throws him back in the cell. To which I think ultimately finally puts the rest to question, right? Rick's way worked. I mean, I think we can say that at this point between the philosophies. If Maggie, who has waited on this revenge, she said a year and a half.
Right.
She's waited on this revenge a year and a half. She thinks she has the nerve for it. They just killed all these saviors. You would think that this means she's now going to go here and kill this man in cold blood.
Right, but she still has a heart. Even though she killed Gregory, she still has a heart, though.
Well, I was going to take it to the next level. So you think she didn't kill him because she had too much sympathy for him?
Yes.
Okay, I took it the other way. I thought she didn't kill him because she saw he was suffering, and she would rather his ass suffer in that cell than to give him the sweet release of death, which he did want.
It might sound, I don't know if it's contradicting, but I think
it is. If you about to agree with me, it is absolutely contradicting.
Yes, I think, because I do believe that, but I think so, it was some part of sympathy for, he's just broken now.
Well, it's kind of like they're both. I mean, I can see what you're saying, where it's not as contradictory as it feels, because
right.
She could have compassion for him and also have like, I'd rather you suffer this hell that you hate. Because I do think when he brought up his wife and just wanted to be with her again, it kind of put them in the same boat, which is both of them are hurt and want to be with their loved one that is dead, and they are doomed to keep surviving in this world. But I think there's a part of her that was also just team petty.
I agreed. And I also think too that when she saw how broken he was, she was like, oh, rather than to make this quick, I'm gonna let you live with this, because that's actually a greater suffering than me coming in here fucking you up.
Yeah, he was crying hard as shit, man. That was a lot. So then they get somebody comes up to them, I think it's Diane, and Diane's like, it's a problem down at the camp, Michonne, Maggie, let's go, and they all run off together, and that's the end of Alexander. All right, now it's time for Rick. So Rick, who we last saw get impaled on rebar laying in the middle of an intersection as Walker Herds walked Kate approached him from both sides.
Some real what they call it, intersectionality. Everybody's all the wokes is just coming, just crossing each other.
He was at an intersection, all right. First time a white man's ever been at the intersection.
Come on,
a cishead white man. So he is at an intersection and he starts finding a way to. He has like a dream. It's a vision of himself in his hospital bed talking to his current self, who is bleeding from the side. And so what begins is a series of trippy flashes of like hit dream sequences that happen sporadically throughout the episode. I'm not going to go into too deep a detail with these descriptions, mostly because it's a lot of trippy shit and none of it was real. So it's kind of no point to really go into, you know.
It was really just neat to see. And it was like a big flashback down memory lane.
Yeah, like they show like crows and a murder of crows flying in a like really weird circle formation. They turn into helicopters and fly towards the window. Like it was just trippy shit that honestly you have to watch the show to truly appreciate.
Right. Very visual.
But they were beautifully done in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the helicopter CGI was weird. All right. So. He reaches down, he sees he's bleeding, and there's a version of him on the bed, and basically the version of him on the bed says, wake up, asshole, and that's when he comes to real life, and he's still impaled, and he uses his extra belt, cause he has the holster belt, but then he has a belt, thank God he wore that.
Come on.
And he uses his belt, takes it off of him, and reaches up to some other, like, pipes or rebar, puts the belt around it, and literally pulls himself off of the rebar, impaling his left side.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a man's man right there, y'all. I would have just been walking meat. I probably would just pull my gun out and be like, let me at least shoot myself before I get ate to death.
He wanted to live. And you know what, something else I realized too is at the after he was walking and stuff, this is the first time I ever seen his boots fucked up, because normally he be running, they ain't never showed them boots wore down before.
Yeah. Yep. So Angel Kane getting all the details right.
Come on, I was thinking as many miles I've been on them boots I'd have been fucked up.
Boots was made for walking. But yeah, he went ahead and got off that rebar. Only Rick Grimes could do that, impossible white man, because your boy's final episode would have been 1 minute long of just zombies eating me, and it's me, I'm your boy. So then
that's why I'm glad you didn't shoot it.
So then Rick gets on the horse. The horse, which didn't leave completely, kind of just went to the side because horses are stupid apparently, even though it was super smart not to get ate by them zombies.
It was smart enough for that, right?
So the horse the horse is waiting to the side, and Rick kind of like hobbles onto it and hops onto the horse and starts riding it, but he got to ride it real slow because his side is bleeding like a just bleeding like a sieve. And he passes out, has another vision, and this was one of my favorite visions. It felt kind of like a Christmas story. No, which one is just the Christmas tale or carol or whatever, the one where Scrooge gets visited by the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, ghost of Christmas future.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, Christmas Carol, that's what it is. Okay, thank Christmas you Carol.
It felt a lot like that to me, because like he saw Shane in this one, like, you know, you ain't saying well, I guess I don't want to skip ahead, but he saw some other people later that we'll get to, and it felt like he was getting a moment with each of these apparitions.
Transcription is tedious and
All these apparitions that really only appear in his head. So like, they weren't real, they weren't like, it wasn't like the spiritual plane came. I think we were supposed to take it as this nigga's losing blood, he's fucking hallucinating, he's tripping balls, man, and he's just sitting there trying to survive, and his subconscious is kind of getting him through by presenting itself as these people. So oh wait, okay, that's actually later. Anyway, so so he gets on the horse, he then gets into this abandoned house off the side of the road, and finds like some old dirty cloth to wrap his side up in to try to keep it from bleeding out, but right. it's bleeding bad.
I mean, yeah, big ass hole.
Yeah, big, like, yeah, it's real bad. I hope he had his tetanus shot.
Come on.
And so the abandoned house also doesn't have a door that closes. He just walks right through the doorway, and there's a dead zombie on the ground with a gun. So I don't know if it killed itself or died. I don't know. So he ties up the room with a rag, and he passes out. That's when he has this vision, and it's Shane. Oh, Rick is in Atlanta on a horse. It's odes to the first episode ever.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first episodes. Yeah. Rick on a horse. The highway out of Atlanta is completely shut down and filled with nothing but cars. The highway into Atlanta is completely empty. There's a herd of walkers behind him following him on this horse as he like trots into town. And then he sees Shane. Let me see.
What's your wound?
Oh yeah, he keeps hearing this voice in all the dreams.
And damn cowboy, you look like shit.
Now I can't front, I started smiling when I seen Shane.
Come on.
The thing is, all these reminders kind of harken back for us that have been longtime fans to when the show was like really good. When it was must-see TV. When the philosophical debates between characters were compelling. When characters had like conflict and drama that wasn't really repetitive yet,
right?
And when you were waiting for these collisions that had come to a head, and it was complex. Like Rick and Shane were partners and friends, but Shane thought Rick was dead and ended up fucking Rick's wife and getting her pregnant possibly, and Rick is raising Shane's baby.
Judith is his.
Right, so we've been having all these moments of this, and you know, we get to these moments like this, and I mean, we don't have these moments anymore. It's been years since we had really compelling moments, I think, between characters like this.
Oh, and that chemistry together is great.
So great, like top-notch actors. And then we have this moment. It's almost like you get a little bit of the rose colored lenses and go, man, this, like, I don't know if this moment was so good or just I miss these niggas talking.
I miss them talking.
So here we go with them talking.
So what is this?
Oh, and it's just like a dream. Like, it skips forward. Like, he sees Shane, he's outside the car on a horse. He blinks and he's inside the car sitting next to Shane eating cheeseburgers on Stakeout. It's like that.
What is this? Come on, Rick, look around. You know what this is. Are those the idiots we were chasing?
Attaboy. Dispatch said there was two suspects, right?
Oh, there's a third man.
Yes, there was. A third man. Changed everything, didn't he?
I'm looking for my family.
Oh, is that what you're doing? Looking for your family, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's not entirely true. One could argue it's my family you're looking for, right? How is my baby girl, by the way?
You got my eyes, don't you?
She hasn't got your nose.
Good thing she ain't got my ears, man.
One, it's hilarious they're laughing about this shit.
Right?
That's how you know this nigga is out of his gourd with the pain. But two, it really made me miss Shane, man. It really did. Like, it really did the trick. Well, I was just like, oh, Shane. Like, and it was funny is when Shane died, I wanted him to die so bad. I remember the arguments that people would have online every day about Shane or Rick, Shane or Rick. Who should go? Who's right? You know, and it's funny because at the time we were talking about the show, I remember adamantly being like, Rick should stay. And Rick just needs a little bit of Shane's mentality and he'll survive. And people were like, no, it should be Shane. He's the one that's right. And I said, but Shane's so cold-blooded and ruthless.
Right.
You can't lead people that way. He would have been the first Negan, you know? Oh, so good.
You're such an asshole.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. The asshole. Same as you, really.
Oh, you think I'm an asshole?
Man, I don't think a thing, man. I know you're an asshole.
I like to take credit for that, actually, Rick, when I think about it. I mean, I'm sure others did influence you, but I'd like to take full credit. I didn't want it, you know that. But you took it, right? Boy, that shit you did in that field. Yes, you and me. Man, you took a page out of my book, Rick. You know, I'm glad you did it. You stepped up, brother. It had to be me. Still has to be.
Yeah, I see, Rick. Yeah, I think that's where you're wrong. Has to be me.
You.
That's right. The only way this gets done, Rick, I want you to think about how you bit that piece of shit's throat out. Asshole in the church with the red machete. That is what I'm talking about. That's the shit that I need from you. That I always knew you had in you. I knew you had it in you, Rick, and it is time. You want answers? You want to know what this is all about? This right here, you and me.
I asked you. You did.
God, they're so good together.
Ain't that dope? Oh. And he reminded me when he bit that dude's neck out. And then I remember that time that dude was fucking with Carl. He stabbed him the whole fucking commercial break off the screen.
Yes.
So he was like, the fuck you think you're doing?
Long story short, Shane is like, look, man, Rick, you need to use your inner Shane to get through this ordeal that you bleeding out right now. You're gonna die. The only way to stop yourself from dying is to use me. Let me, you know, let the evil Shane inside guide you through.
Right, and they talking this thing, you know, he just go, wake up!
Yeah, he was like, wake up, Rick! And when he said wake up, Rick literally came back to reality, and a zombie was like in the same place Shane's face was trying to bite him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he barely survives. Like, he dodges the zombie, he kicks his way out of this, you know, dilapidated house,
right? Because he had literally rode ahead of the herd, and the herd basically had caught up with him.
And of course, through the magic of
impossible white man,
well, that's not what I was gonna say through the magic of convenient zombies.
Yes, very convenient.
His horse was waiting perfectly outside on the one side where the zombies weren't, and it wasn't spooked at all, and it let Rick get on and ride off.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga. The combination of impossible white man, convenient zombies is undefeated for Rick Grimes.
Come on.
So then he rides the horse, passes out, and this time he has a vision of Herschel, and it's basically Herschel like looking at a field, and he's telling Rick like, come over here and look at this field. And it's kind of extra poignant because the actor who plays Herschel died in real life, I believe, this summer.
He did.
So it was kind of like that moment where it's like, you know.
Right, because he had filmed this and then he died not too long after that.
Yeah, so it's like a goodbye kind of to him, but also just kind of like a, it was also just another moment of great acting where you just kind of miss some of these characters because they were great actors and great characters.
Yes, they were. They were.
Oh god, they weren't two-dimensional. They were smart. They had conversations that, like I said, while repetitive, and I remember being like, man, Herschel gets on my fucking nerves because Herschel was always preaching compassion. You can't be out here killing people. What about farming, Rick? What about finding another way out that's not just us
violence.
Using violence. He was the one, still probably my favorite episode, or one of my favorite episodes of The Walking Dead, had to be Herschel being the one to tell Rick they shouldn't kill that boy. And they did a whole episode that was basically 12 Angry Men. That was just them being like, you know, a jury of will we or will we not kill this young kid, because we caught him and we don't know what group he's with. He might, now he knows where we stay, maybe we need to kill him to keep them from rolling up on us. And it was a great example, like that kind of stuff. While it was fresh and new at the time, to be honest, you know, now if they would have done in season 8, people would have been mad. But that type of thinking was actually like kind of like some deep shit for me. Didn't even have a lot of action in that episode, but it really made me think about what's right and wrong in this epoch. So anyway, I won't play his scene. I'll just tell y'all about it. He so they ended up having this conversation, and Rick apologizes and says he's sorry for everything that Maggie's lost, and he takes responsibility for it because he feels like he really let Herschel down. And he said, you know, I'm trying to build what you wanted me to build and what Carl wanted me to build. And Herschel's kind of like, man, don't worry about that shit. Like, and he said, well, I have to be the one to lead him. He's like, no, you don't. You don't have to be the one to lead him. Like, you gotta trust them, and Maggie's a stronger person because of you, and everybody else is too. And he said, I'm looking for my family. He said, well, your family's not here because they're not lost, or something like that. And you know, Rick said he needs to stay and keep them together, and he said, and Herschel says, no, you don't, you only think you do. And Rick brings up, you know, the influence of Herschel and Carl and stuff, and Herschel says, your family isn't here, Rick. You have to wake up. And Rick wakes up for a second, and he's still on that horse, and just like barely ahead of the herd, like maybe 20 feet ahead of the herd.
Right, if that far, right?
And he passes out again.
Mm-hmm, yeah, he's constantly losing blood. The horse started just turning red down on his side
where he was bleeding. Where he was bleeding, and it's a white horse. He came riding a pale white horse. And so he's riding this white horse, and aka symbolic for cocaine, my brother. I'm just kidding, guys. He's riding this white horse, and he has this other, he passes out, has another vision, and this vision was super trippy, maybe the trippiest one. He's back in the hospital. He's stumbling down the hallway. He sees the door that says don't open, dead inside, or something like that, or walkers or something like that. And he opens the door and walks outside, and there's a bunch of dead people on the ground as far as the eye can see. Like, the special effects for this part, they must have spent, this is what they say, they saved that money putting Daryl and him in a hole so they could spend the money on this shit.
Yes, they did. And when he looked around, it was like every character that's on the show, even the ones that are currently alive, was at his feet.
Yeah, like Maggie was there, and like all the character, Carol was there, and like literally bodies on the ground as far as the eye could see. And he's just tripping balls trying to figure out what's happening. And I believe it was Sasha who rose from the dead and started talking to him. Let me get to her part.
Okay, so like I don't hear anything.
I'm skipping ahead to him. Now, of course, we know that Sonequa Martin-Green is on Star Trek Discovery now, so it was kind of a cool get for them to get her back.
it's okay.
How can it be okay? How can this be okay?
Because you did your part. Like I did mine. Like the others did before us.
How?
They gave us the strength that we needed to do what we had to do for the others. And the others draw strength from us. We change each other. We help each other. We make each other better. And it never ends.
It feels like it's ending.
Little things do end. But it's never the end of everything. Because we don't die. It's not about you or me or any one of us. It's about all of us. And I don't think it just evens out. I think it always crosses over toward the good, toward the brave, toward love.
Rick said it with her, so I feel like maybe somebody said that before. We supposed to remember, but I don't remember who said it. Maybe Lori.
Somebody did.
Yeah, somebody probably said it. I'm just glad Lori didn't show up in one of these. I hated Lori.
And I think with the old showrunner, she would have.
Your family. You're not going to find them because they're not lost. And you are not lost. What you need to do
is wake up.
Is wake up.
Wake your punk ass up. So he needed to wake up. That would have been funny if MC8 would have got to do one of these. You need to wake your punk ass up. So then Rick, you know, sees Sasha. He has to wake up. He wakes up this time and he is falling off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse, like,
which that, actually makes sense.
And the horse left.
Like, I've had enough of your shit, white man.
Right. That horse looked up.
You have been bleeding on me enough.
Right. That horse ran through the woods. That's all Rick saw was just
his Uber has left.
Yeah, your Uber, you did not catch it. So he was at his destination and it was the camp. So he's in the camp now and he's just bleeding out. He's falling off this fucking horse, and all of a sudden three walkers come up, and he is Struggle City fighting these motherfucking walkers. Like,
he took all his power.
Yeah, my man Andrew Lincoln was acting.
Win it all.
Because he was, like, shooting walkers with his big-ass gun, but, like, every shot was taking everything out of him, and he's, like, making this sound like he's just ripping himself in half to do it.
Right.
He kills those walkers, and then he starts walking in front of the herd, but he's only like 10 feet in front of the herds. He's like stumbling, and you can see his boots are all fucked up because he's not walking right. And this time he sits down on the bridge, kind of like he just kind of almost gives up, and he sits down on the bridge and he looks back at the walkers and he has another vision, and this is a waking vision. So this one tricked us, kind of, and it's a walker getting shot in the head with like an arrow or something, and then the entire cavalry of Alexandrians and all the hilltop people and stuff running together, and they all go and start killing the zombies that are crossing the bridge behind Rick, and they're just like killing this herd one by one. Michonne comes over to him and is like talking to him and saying, you know, like, I gotta get you out of here, okay? And he's like, you take care of them, I can't, because he's like, I'm dying, you just gotta take care of them. And she said, you will, it's not over, we don't die. You want to know why I fell in love with you? Because you're a fighter and you never give up. So fight, Rick, fight for me, fight for all of us. And everyone then at this point they turn around and everyone's standing down and they're watching Rick and Michonne, and that's when I was like, oh no.
Yeah, he even looked at her go, and he said, this ain't real.
He says you're my family, I found you. She said, you did. And then he said, but this isn't real.
Right.
And she says, yes it is, now wake up. And he wakes up, he's still on the bridge, and the zombies are coming for him. and he starts walking again, and he gets through past the bridge, and he's bleeding out and shit. And that's when we find out that Eugene is not as smart as he said he was, because the bridge is 100% holding up with all them fucking walkers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a fucking rushing river of just water underneath it, and the fucking bridge isn't even creaking.
That bridge was like, I got you.
I'm like, God damn it, Eugene. The one time we need you to be not efficient and be like, to be right that the bridge won't work. Now you don't know what the fuck you talking about. Of course the shit was fixed now. And of course, you know, Rick is like, I can just give up. I can't. The bridge is holding. I don't know what the
fuck. I thought it was going to crumble. Come on.
And as Walker is about to bite him, Daryl shoots a Walker in the head with an arrow, and then another one. And then another one. He got like unlimited arrow cheat code.
That's what I said. I was like, what is happening here?
And 100% accuracy. He was Steph Curry with the arrows, y'all. Just fast. But this time, it's not that they're coming from the other side of the bridge. They're actually from underneath on the bank of the river, kind of shooting.
Right.
And they're trying to find a way to cross and go up behind the herd and create a distraction to keep the walkers off of Rick. And they're shooting guns in the air and shit. And walkers are not turning around.
There's too many of them.
And Rick is like, Rick kills a walker with a hatchet, and he says not for me, because he doesn't want them to run onto the bridge for him, because he's trying. The reason that he stopped was to get as many walkers on the bridge as possible till it would crumble, and his thing was, I just don't want them to cross the bridge and then lead to Alexandria or mm-hmm. Hilltop or something like that. And so he turns around, he kills a zombie, walks onto the bridge. A zombie knocks over some dynamite that was on the bridge, which, why the fuck would dynamite be on the bridge? I mean, let's be honest, guys. All the construction things that you possibly want on a bridge that you're building, what you don't want on the wooden bridge in the middle of it is a box of dynamite.
I don't know. Was that the same dynamite they were using to blow up the rocks?
Right. But I'm saying, why would they be on the bridge?
I have no idea.
Be by the rocks. You're like, I feel like maybe one of the saviors put it there to blow up. I don't know.
Possibility.
So the box falls over. Conveniently, a walker knocks over the box of dynamite. Rick gets a brilliant idea and shoots the dynamite, blows up the bridge. Everybody sees it, including Michonne. Michonne is giving us the best black mama at the funeral, take me with him, Lord, why cry that I've ever seen. You know, Maggie is sad, like everybody's sad, Daryl's sad.
That was a neat ass explosion, I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, it blew up everything. The whole bridge fell into the water,
and then five zombies was like just walking and falling into the water.
Yes, it was a lot. And so then we cut to Jadis is down at the meeting location waiting for her helicopter, and she's by a river, you know. And while she's waiting, she pulls out her gun. The helicopter walkie talkies her and is like, so you got your A?
But before that, she overheard them talking on the walkie talkie. Mm-hmm. She heard Rick and them, but everybody else talking, and she seen the fire from the bridge off in the distance.
Right. So we know she's downriver of whatever happened with Rick and them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is when I started smiling, because I said, I was right. Smartest man alive. Greatest podcast ever. You know, all the things I say to myself in my head. And so Rick, while she's getting her gun out and waiting for the helicopter to land, because we know she doesn't have an A or B. She got nothing.
She got a C, a zero.
A zero. And her thing is, I'm a copter jack these niggas. What happened to we take, we don't bother. Copter jacking seems pretty bothersome.
Yes, it does.
As did kidnapping Gabe. I don't know about their rules. So, she sees Rick on the side, still alive, bleeding, and she's like, wait, he says no tricks or whatever. She's like, I don't have a B. I mean, I have a B, not an A. I never had an A. And the dude said, I warned you there'd be consequences if you try something. She says, not a trick, not anymore. And she throws her gun down to let him know, like, I'm not even armed. And ask, do we have a deal? The guy, they don't show him say yes, but apparently they do. The helicopter, like, Rick wakes up in the helicopter. He's got his wound bandage. He's got like an IV and a like an oxygen tube down his nose. and she basically says, don't worry, they're gonna take care of you, you're gonna be okay. And they play the song Space Junk by Wang Chung, which is the first song they ever played on the episode of Walking Dead. It's after Glenn calls him a dumbass. So it's almost like Rick's grand entrance and grand leaving or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other thing I like about this is it kind of signifies almost like a starting over. Mm-hmm. And a return back to like a different type of vibe, because that was when the show felt like anything was possible and there was a little more, I don't know, like it wasn't so crazy for them to play a song like this.
Agreed.
You know, now I feel like it's so out of place because the show's gotten so somber.
Right, they rarely play music like that anymore.
Yeah, it snapped me out of my, I was like, what is this? This, when the music came, I was like, have they ever done this before? And then people were like, yeah, episode one. I was like, fuck, it's been that long since they just played a song in the soundtrack that, you know, took me out for a second. So then he flies off, right? We see the helicopter fly off through the clearing, and then we get a time lapse, like kind of, you know, video thing where they kind of move forward an indiscriminate amount of time into the future.
In the same location.
And we see a house in the background become dilapidated. We see small trees grow bigger and have more foliage on them. And then we kind of pan down to the field where this is at. And there's some survivors and they're fighting zombies and they're stuck and they're surrounded. And they're about to get, you know, bitten or worse. And somebody shoots a zombie from the distance and says, come over here. And it's like a little girl voice. I'm like, who the fuck is that? that sounded younger than Enid, you know?
Come on.
And so she shoots, says, come over here. And the people like follow the path created from her shooting a couple zombies. And they go into the woods. And there's a little girl there with a big ass gun putting it in a holster. She got a sword on her back. And she says, you got names? Cause she's a little girl.
So I have braided on one side.
Yeah. Like, you got names? And like, it was tripping me out to hear, you know, this badass little girl talking like this. And then, they say their names, and I'm not gonna lie. I got a little lazy. I didn't write their names down. No offense to those actors or whatever. Maybe they'll be important in the next episode, but. You know, they did the like, this is Camille, Johnson, Jordan, Larry, Smith, and I'm Tashane. I'm like, I don't actually care. Like, can we just get on with the show, guys? We don't have time for all these exchanges of names. Let me see if I can play it. Alright, so that's when she saved them.
You got names?
I'm Magnus. Connie and Kellyanne, you make him look. What's yours?
She picks up a sheriff's hat, puts it on her head.
Carl's hat.
Judith Grimes.
And that's when the episode ends. And I can't front. I lost my motherfucking mind.
Because I was like, ooh, it's gonna be a time jump.
That was so fucking smart. It's so smart, like the time jump, because it's ambitious, number one, right? Because we clearly have jumped, I think they've confirmed, 6 years in the future. So if you think about it, from the Negan battle, the end of it, to now, we have jumped 7.5 years in a show, in 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They show like clips of like the next 3 episodes, and it's all like happening in the future and everybody looks a little different and stuff. That's cool. But the reason I think this is so brilliant, there's things that have become repetitive on the show that they now have a chance with this new showrunner to kind of ask some different questions, present some different enemies, some different conundrums, to kind of rewrite characters. It's a fresh start for everyone. You can take someone who we despise and build them back up. You can take someone we love and take them down a notch. You can, like, for example, I was wondering how they were going to write themselves out of Negan being in that cell, a complete shell of himself, if he's going to stay around on the show at all. How do we ever get back to big bad Negan, or rehabilitated Negan, or make him interesting again? Because that felt like the end of his arc, if we're being honest. This nigga crying in a cell, you know. How do we get back to you know, like, now that we've stopped the argument of Maggie versus revenge versus Daryl and and Maggie and Jesus and all this, like, maybe we can get rid of that discussion now, because 6 years from now it should be resolved to some level. It's not like you would talk about it every day for 6 years.
Nope.
So 6 years from now we don't do that. We get to see, like, Enid older, Will young Master Henry, I mean, older, Judith, like, what exactly,
Maggie's son,
yeah, like, what does young Herschel look like? I've even heard that possibly Maggie, this is Lauren Cohan's last episode for this season. So in the future, where is Maggie?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Now they do want her to come back to the show, but she signed with another show, and it's a conflict of, you know, timing to be filming. So unfortunately, the actress couldn't do the show, but they didn't want to kill her either.
Right.
And they had, like, these contract negotiations and stuff. So hopefully she'll be back, but how are they gonna write about that? You know, so I was really excited about that part of it. What'd you think about the time jump?
I loved it. I'm here for it because it can erase shit. We ain't got to talk about the saviors. We ain't got to talk about Oceanside. If you address it, fine. If you don't, I'm cool with that too. We've jumped 6 years.
Right.
So that's what I love about it. And I'm gonna keep it real. Shout out to the women that have been coming out and, like, rewriting and revamping shows. Because her name was Angela King, right?
Kang.
Honey, you've been writing the hell out of this. Just for the simple fact that the pacing is better, and it literally reminds you of how the show used to be. Quick paced, moving fast. You know, every episode went in boom 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 boom, but it wasn't like we just drawing out for the sake of drawing shit out.
Even this episode, I feel like a year ago, 2 years ago, this would have been an hour and a half episode.
Yes,
this episode I think clocked in an hour and 12 minutes. And you know, obviously take out the commercials and shit, but like, they didn't try to add an extra 30 minutes. Like, if this would have been a couple years ago, I feel like we would have had Lori show up, Carl would have showed up, T-Dog would have showed up.
Who?
Glenn, Andrea, T-Dog, like,
Abraham.
They would have tried to get every actor a scene with Rick, and it would have been a big ass, like, eventually we would have got so tired of him passing out and doing scenes with people that we would have actually been sitting around like, oh my God, get it over with. And this shit moved fast. And also, another reason I was surprised, I thought they were gonna do all Rick. Like, when they made this thing that, oh, the last Rick episode or whatever, I said, oh, so the whole thing is gonna be Rick Grimes, and it's gonna be really trippy, and a big send off to Andrew Lincoln and a thank you for his time on the show.
I think if the old showrunner would have done it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, yeah.
But they actually included elements that pushed the story along, and that kind of ended certain things, because even if they would have came back and said, next week on The Walking Dead, we're not skipping 4 or 6 years, we're just going to the next day. Even if they would have done that, I feel like the argument about killing Negan was dead.
Agreed.
Like, that's how good that writing of that scene was. It's like, well, if Maggie doesn't have the heart / she's too petty to kill Negan at this point, then nobody's gonna do it, because she was the one who had the right to do it. And Dwight would, I mean, Daryl would have been like, well, okay. Other things I like about the future Skip, you can bring people back.
Yep.
Like, maybe we see Dwight.
I think we will.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe we see Heath.
Yes.
Like, what happened to Heath?
He just washed away and never came back.
Right.
He went to 24 and that was it.
And you can also do things like bring people, like, we're 6 years in the future, and now you got 6 years of story you can tell in between that, so you can have flashbacks in and out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas anywhere in that 6 year period, you can be like, well, let's tell the story of why of how Michonne went out looking for Rick and never found him, and we'll just make 1 hour of just that. Like,
right,
she didn't just give up and move on. It's not some cold-blooded shit. She looked for him for years. Or you can never tell that story and just put it into writing and make us be like, you know, enough people have told her that she needs to give up and move on mm-hmm. after Rick, that we realize she's been pining for Rick and waiting for him to like be alive for years now. You know, I just, it was so smart. It was so smart. Like all the ruts that the show is in, and I already had some signs that the show was getting better with the pacing, some of the writing. And it's hard to clean up a show 9 seasons in. Right. Like I can still see people, I don't like, this is why I'm not recommending the show to people that mm-hmm. are like, I don't like it anymore, because I can still feel like, I still feel like if you really hate this show, why would it matter that they changed it?
It wouldn't,
you know.
I'm still not gonna like it.
I saw people trying to say that this was some type of like, oh, they tricked y'all, they said they were gonna kill Rick and he didn't die. But I don't think they ever said that.
They just said it was his last episode. They never said if he was going to live or die.
I think they've gotten smarter about that. Like, instead of just lying to the audience on purpose, and then, right. like Glenn's actually gonna die. He's because dead.
So many people turned sour to that.
Yeah, I think they knew that they kind of pissed everybody off with that shit. And they decided, like, okay, we're not gonna do this. You know, let's go ahead and take it down a notch. So... yeah, man, I cannot be more excited. I can't wait to see future everybody 6 years from now. Like, this is what a TV show with this kind of budget and money should do. You right. gotta take chances, do some shit other shows are afraid to do. Yeah, what do you have to lose? Like a black person voting for Trump, what do you have to lose? But nah, I do want to I'm glad that they did this. All right, let's get into the feedback. We got a few emails from people about their feedback, and we appreciate it. Oh, I forgot. And the other announcement. How could I leave this out? They're going to do movies for AMC based on Rick Grimes' character and whatever he's up to while the show is going on and the time that he's away from the rest of the crew and his family. I won't lie, guys. I personally don't like this idea. Same. Now I understand the idea.
Yeah,
the reason I get it, I don't work there, but my guess is you don't want to lose an actor like Andrew Lincoln, and he wants to spend time with his family in Australia. The rumor is they are signing people to contracts now that allow them to cross over between Walking Dead properties. Right. So there's a chance that they can do things with, like, say, a Daryl, or I forget the other person that just signed it. Carol and Daryl, I believe, signed their deals, and they're working with Danai Gurira on her new deal. And I can see them being like, we want them to be in these movies, whether it's through flashbacks, whether it's memories, whether it's visions. We want, but we know Andrew Lincoln physically will never be back in Atlanta to film with the rest of the cast. So, and he's tired of this grind. It's been fucking 10 years of this shit.
I know, it gotta wear him out.
We're gonna basically move the movies to him and his family so he doesn't have to leave, and maybe fly our own actors over there so they can, you know, get involved and be in his movies and stuff. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get the logistics of it. I'm not knocking AMC for what they're doing. You don't want to let Andrew Lincoln just run off, do whatever he wants to do, no contract, no nothing, and then you're just kind of fucked, because a lot of people love Rick, and I personally am glad Rick didn't die. I was not Same. Looking forward to him dying. I don't know why people were so hype about that. I love this character and this actor, and it would have sucked. It's, you know, the same way it sucked when Carl died. Like, I like that character and that actor, you know, and I mean that for real. I know a lot of people didn't like Carl when he was alive, and then he got killed, and they was like, that's what's wrong with the show. It's like, y'all said y'all hate that dude. But yeah, so I absolutely am glad that he's still around, but I don't know about these movies, man. I hope they're good, but I don't have a good feeling.
Yeah, that sounds like a straight Scott Gimple move.
And that's the first thing I thought, was that's some Scott Gimple shit, giving us more than we want from The Walking Dead to the point of over saturation, and then people start going, I'm tired of this show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I would bet money Angela Kang ain't got nothing to do with that shit.
Oh, you know she don't.
All right, now let's get into the emails. The last Rick episode of The Walking Dead, this is from Adrian, who says, Dear Rod and Karen, I've emailed you many times about The Walking Dead. Last year, after the car died episode, I stopped watching The Walking Dead. I just had lost interest. However, I listened to all your recaps, so I had at least a clue of what was going on. I watched the last season finale last season just to say good riddance to the war with the saviors that went on too long. Agreed.
Yes, agreed.
With the new showrunner, I decided to watch the show again and have been enjoying both the new season and your recaps. I agree. The new showrunner had to clean up all of last year's showrunner's messes before moving on, and it's so much better at pacing. I am not a Walking Dead comic reader, but I live with one. He is super excited to see the upcoming on The Walking Dead. Nigga.
It's getting ready to be real good, y'all.
I do read the comic. It's like,
yeah, I'm not all the way caught up, but I'm caught up enough to where I got an idea what's happening.
I don't know what Angela Kane gonna do with these characters.
It's gonna be good.
But when I heard them zombies walking, and I think it was Rosita and somebody was covering themselves up.
Daryl.
They were covering themselves up in mud and hiding, and you could hear the zombies in the background, and they were doing the zombie like growl, but it was words, and it was like, where are they? And I was like, the fucking whisperers, dog. Them niggas are scary. So
yes, they are.
I can't wait. I think they'll probably change them a bit from the comics.
I think they will. They have to.
I kind of think they have to, because they was in the comics, the whisperers are like rapey and shit. They're
ruthless, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't like show any sexual assault
stuff.
They
don't show it.
But they talk about implied. It's implied that they are some pieces of shit. He made me rewind a part of it because I missed something key. No spoilers for those who didn't have comic book readers to tease them. Nope, we gonna spoil. I mean, it's not like the show and the comic are the same, so.
They're not.
And honestly, if you own the Whisperers in the comic, you stopped reading that comic years ago. Like, I don't feel bad about that at all. Like, I'm spoiling something from 2015. I'm sorry. But that, like, there's gotta be limits to this shit. I'm glad they are doing the time jump for it. Can all the babies figure out their appropriate ages now? Maggie's pregnancy was the longest in history, and baby Herschel was too young for a 2-year-old time jump. Yet somehow Judith had grown years and supposedly months, but not aged in the 2-year jump. So hopefully all the aging in the upcoming episodes makes sense. I also too. I felt bad for the child actors the most though, because I'm like, who's old enough not to get recast? Like, don't you have to recast Enid if she's on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you? I mean,
you're gonna age her up.
I was gonna say maybe I'm wrong. Because a lot of times these actors play children, but they in real life they're like 25.
All right.
So maybe it won't be as bad as I think. I don't know. As for this being Rick's last episode, you called all of it, Rod. Old characters return, and mostly only Rick. I enjoy Bernthal's brief scene, and I cried when Herschel showed up. Right. They must have filmed that scene quite some time ago. I thought the episode was well done, moved along at a good pace, and did a good job that the remaining characters thought they saw Rick die, so that won't be the lingering idea of looking for Rick. Oh, Michonne gonna look. That's her man.
Yeah, if ain't nobody else looking, she looking.
That is her vanilla king. I don't think the show will be the same. It will finally move forward. Have a lovely week. Thank you. We shall. Let's see what else we got here. Miss Martha Ken says, I am in what is the title? Walking Dead Wednesday. Am I in time for the show? Hope so. You are.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this week's show, but as I was watching, I couldn't help but think how much better it would have been without spoiler culture. Nigga. That's one thing I really feel like has unfairly hurt this show in a way that other shows have dealt with, but Walking Dead was on the forefront of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when culture changed from just being like, I wonder what's gonna happen next week, to motherfuckers being like, we saw so and so, we saw Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the set of Walking Dead in April, and that means he will play Negan, and the TV show doesn't even get to announce it.
Mm-mm.
And so they had to do some things, I think, in hindsight, with some missteps, but they did some things to try to beat spoiler culture that actually ended up pissing off a lot of fans.
And I think that's why they told us about Rick's movie deals and all that shit, because they were like, let's go ahead and say this now, because we know y'all gonna talk about it.
Because nothing, like, as much as I hate that Gimple told us, at the same time, nothing would have been cooler if, like, a year from now, during the mid-season break, they go on the next Walking Dead and it's Rick. Like, nigga, we would have lost our minds. All of us would have lost our entire fucking minds if they just skipped ahead and was like, or just like I said, like next winter break, you know, 2019 winter break, the fucking halfway season finale ends and it's like coming up on Walking Dead and it's fucking Rick Grimes, we would have been running around the house like, what is this? This is the greatest thing ever. Rick's not dead. They're doing stories about him. He's not off the show.
I would have loved that, but because everybody got to know everything.
Yeah, I just think spoiler culture just changed how they handle it. You almost had to get ahead of stuff and be like, we're going to do movies and help people get as excited about that idea as they are, as they would have been if they were surprised.
Right.
Sucks, but it's the truth. And then they also, they were on the forefront of trying different things. I mean, people get mad about the Glenn thing, but the Glenn thing was really a direct result of them trying not to be spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
It was, no, he's alive. Oh no, he's dead. It's over. Took his name out the credits. Have him on the, I think they didn't have him on the Talking Dead, but they were like, you know, sad, and they did all that shit. And then it's like, they did all that so they could just get one last surprise of, he lived! And they thought we would all be like, yay! And some people were. I remember those people. It was very contentious on my Facebook page at the time. But I remember saying at that moment, cause I know people, I said, oh, they just hurt the show bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just want Glenn to be back. I said, y'all don't understand. They just did something where they broke their own rules.
Yes, they did.
Just to get a surprise, and it now cheapens the show that everyone's been praising for its realism and this is how the zombies would work. You broke the show, kind of. And it never got back, I think. I think that is the moment that I would start saying it really went downhill from there. People start shitting on the show.
That's when you had kind of your first leave of people. And as the time went on, and then when you had Abraham and Glenn dying, like, and it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. So, back to this. The constant leak for seasons, I feel, are the reasons why they advertised the last episode as they did. It would have been way more powerful if it was allowed to just happen as a shock with the ending. It was spoiled that he was going to be possibly spared and used in a movie or something online 2 weeks ago. See, I didn't see that, but damn.
Yeah, there's some shit. Like, it's some shit that I purposely don't pay attention to. So, sometimes you spoil because it's so big, but a lot of the minor stuff, I just feel like, I just rather be surprised.
I just like watching reviews, and I was not expecting to be spoiled like this. I'll have to stick to your review and two others that not only don't spoil but hate spoilers. Other than that, I just want them to try harder with Michonne's hair. Come on, people. Well, they maybe in the future, maybe in,
she might get some cocoa butter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also weird, guys. I don't really know what a bad wig, good wig is. I really just accept everything on TV, and I understand people gonna roast it. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah,
I'm okay with terrible. People roasting it. People say Heath was terrible. Because I don't know enough about hair like that. I cut my hair off when I was 15. I haven't had it since. So
yeah, like the hairline don't look it just don't look like real hair.
But they was roasting Annalise Keaton wigs, season one of How to Get Away with Murder. I don't be knowing the difference. Like, I was like, oh, I thought it was good. Okay, never mind. Other than that, I just want them to try harder. Carol got rid of that 53% haircut as well. Y'all think Rick's pancake mix worked in Michonne's batter? In my rest in peace Robahan voice. Rip Robahan? I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. That is interesting, Karen. Will we see a new Grimes? Will Rick actually have a kid on the show for the first time since Carl?
I think so.
Because we know Maggie ain't. We know Judith ain't his. I know I'm going to enjoy y'all's review. It's going to lift my spirits in this post-election haze funk I'm in. Mimi. Thanks, Mimi.
Thank you.
I think that I do want to see if Rick got another little future baby running around. That would be cool.
About 6 years old now.
Yeah, 6-year-old little Michonne Jr. or whatever. Team Judith Grimes. This is from Turk, who says, they did that. Walking Dead does not get enough credit for being willing to take such huge risks with their storylines. Well, honestly, man, I think they played it safe for, that Saviors thing felt like the first time for me where I felt like, oh, y'all are playing it so safe. Like, y'all don't even, like, y'all are just stretching this shit out. Y'all don't even care. And now I feel like, oh, this is the kind of risk that I come for. Sad that it took y'all getting down to 5 million viewers before y'all did this, but God damn it, that's what I want to see. I love that y'all have said fuck the comic book, we do what we want. Oh, that they have said fuck the comic book, we do what we want. I was already hyped about the Whisperer storyline, but now I'm even more excited because nobody can possibly know what will happen since so many characters have been switched out. Anybody can die or get swept away in a helicopter, which means which makes the show fun to watch. I think even the idiots who hate watch are having fun, but just don't want to admit it. I'm not getting into the hate watch stuff. That gets contentious. One question, are we okay with Judah saying, nigga, her mama is black, and she probably won't really remember her white relatives since they were all gone before she hit kindergarten? So you trying to say, like, if, like, Paris Jackson? I'm gonna say no on this. Mm-mm. What do you think, Karen? Mm-mm. So Karen's giving you a no. Michonne probably talks with Sonequa Martin Green's husband and that new black lady with a fro, so I'm sure Judah's heard nigga around the house.
don't mean she can say it.
Right. If she's really from a black house, she knows she can't say it. And around the house on several cages while being babysat by Uncle Zeke. I guess we'll have to see if Judith applies for a theater scholarship and adopts a Nigerian middle name to see if she considers herself black or she'll stick to her 53% roots. Peace, Turk. Ha! Yeah. I have the genes of a white woman, but I vote like a Negro. EVE says, hi, Rod and Karen. I don't know how I feel about that ending with Rick. I guess I'm glad he didn't get eaten, but the week before, those walkers were only a few feet away from him. Not enough time for him to take off his belt and pull himself up. Well,
he impossible white man, dog.
Let's be honest at this point, EVE. Are we waiting 9 seasons to pull out the convenient walkers card? Are we really doing that?
Y'all do know we've seen the tiger, right?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the tiger, okay? I'm not trying to say this whole world is fairy tale. I'm saying, we have seen 9 seasons of walker plot devices do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, they're very convenient.
It's kind of too late. No offense, but it's kind of too late to do the I don't think that's how it would have happened with walkers. We've been off that.
We done seen them pop up out of nowhere. We done seen them ignore shit.
The second that a motherfucking rolling can,
come on,
saved Glenn's life, I felt like we all needed to have a moment of, okay, so then
either you're in or out.
Walkers can do whatever the fuck they want, whatever the writers need them to do. Cause it makes no sense.
Mm-mm.
No sense. There was an episode where a walker came out of the water like Rambo and pulled a nigga into the water. And I said, now, how the fuck you get motor skills to swim and jump out the water?
Come on, we done seen zombies go through walls like they football pieces of paper.
Right, just run through the wall, and then the next time you see the zombie, it can't get stuck from a pole. Like, we don't know, it's just...
Come on, it can't step up on the corner.
Yeah, so I gotta say, it all feels like nonsense to me, okay? And I hate to say that to you, Evie, because you're one of my faves, but I don't think we can do this, okay? I think we need to stop trying to get worrying about that, okay?
So what do you suggest?
I suggest you just keep playing, man, and don't worry about what goes on at the top of things.
Okay? Don't worry about what goes on at the top of things, EVE. They pulled another Glenn under the dumpster, but I digress. For the first time this season, I'm actually excited to see what happens next. Hey, can't wait. Man, you know the only thing that'll suck worse than this, though, y'all? We got all this momentum, all this opportunity, all this chance to start over. If they start next episode arguing about whether to kill people or not, I might have to quit. Y'all.
I doubt they will.
I don't think they will, but that's the only thing that can make this momentum just drag, is that the next episode is 2 motherfuckers arguing about, should we kill people or should we try to be their friends? I'm gonna be like, what? 7.5 years later, y'all still fighting about this? Daryl just sitting there like, I think I want to kill Negan. Like, no, stop it. All right. I can't wait to see what old lady Carol brings to Ruckus.
Come on, she all gray.
Yeah, like she gonna be talking to young Master Henry too.
Mm-hmm, all her hair done grew out.
Cause he was like, you taught me to do this, okay? And it appears
I learned it from you.
You okay? And it appears that the story will now be centered on Rick's stepdaughter. That's sweet. I hope Michonne gave birth during this time skip, but we'll see. EVE.
Yeah, she was pregnant. That baby born, but now.
Yeah, if she was pregnant, that's definitely what happened. So all right, guys, that's it for this week. Friday will be a premium doubleheader, Balls Deep and the Nerd Off. So premium people, we'll meet you behind the paywall. We'll see you at the paywall. Mm-hmm. See you at the paywall where you won't be lonely. Everybody else, bye. Till next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.